Hey, it's good to see you guys this morning. Glad you're here. We are getting closer and closer to Christmas, and I get excited around Christmas time. I'm the sap who likes Christmas music, like I do. I just dig it. In fact, my family had a tradition that every Christmas we would leave on Christmas Eve from my grandparents' house, and we would sing in like perfect four-part harmony, like every Christmas carol you knew. And so that's why you see what you see today. You're welcome. You can thank my parents for that. They've provided much for this church in that way. So, hey, it's an honor to be here. If you don't know who I am, I'm Nathan Loxley. I'm one of the elders and pastors here at 24 Church. I usually am standing behind that guitar over there, but today I got out of my cage and they're letting me preach. So I'm excited about today and excited to get to open God's word with you. Before we do that, just to kind of bring about some Christmas cheer in here and some Christmas spirit. One of my favorite things about Christmas is Christmas lights, right? Who doesn't like Christmas lights? Like, you gotta like them, right? Unless they're in your neighbor's yard and your neighbor is Clark Griswold and you know, like blinds, like burns your retinas when you look at it. That would be unfortunate, right? But who doesn't love Christmas lights? And everybody's kind of got their favorite type of Christmas lights. And out of the Christmas lights that I could find, I broke a bunch of these in first service. It was pretty awesome. These were the closest ones that were free that I like the best. I'm into like the big bulbs, right? We see those, a big bulb. And really what I like is like in the movie Christmas Story, like those lights they have all over their house, like 1940s, 50s lights that are like as big as the light bulbs and those lights up there. Like, they're massive and they're different colors, and it's like waiting for a fire truck to come. Like, it's just gonna happen. Like wood shingles, it's gone. That's my kind of light. I like it, and it's because it does something to me when I see it. It's beautiful, right? And our culture is used to these. We know that like the day after 4th of July, these are gonna go up on people's houses, right? Yeah, and then they're gonna stay up until the 1st of June. And then they're gonna start all over like 3 weeks later. That's how it goes. The cool thing that we like about Christmas lights as well is that like it's our excuse to be a little bit redneck, right? Like even like the biggest mansions in Nashville, like they bring out the gaudiest stuff, don't they? It's like they hire like living Santas to go sit in sleighs, and that's not enough in their front yard. So then they wrap him with lights and shove like candy canes in his ears and stuff. I mean, it's gaudy, right? It's our excuse to be a little red, and so we like that. But one thing we can't deny is that when we see them, they're beautiful. Like there's something about it that's just kind of beautiful. And that's just the way that light is. It can be an awesome display when you go up to one of those houses where you're like, wow, they spent more than my house is worth on their Christmas lights. But you look at it and you're like, whoa. And we're infatuated with Christmas lights. In fact, we love light in general. Like, raise your hand if, like, you would love to just live in darkness. It's, like, the place that you'd want to be. It's like, woo, I'm alone. No, you would hate that. We love light. And the reason that we love light, not just because it's beautiful, but because it also, like, it reveals things. All right, it lets us see where we are. It lets us experience the world. Color is just light. That's all it is. It's a reflection of light at different frequency. That's all it is. And so true beauty and true revelation and real truth is seen in light. You got that? The other thing that light does is it sends a message. Because when you drive by that person's house, you're not like driving by the house and see all of those lights and craziness stuff going on and drive by and think, oh, wow, it's Veterans Day again. No, like you know that those lights mean that it's Christmas time because you know that they're gonna have like with like fireworks and sparklers, like it blazing Merry Christmas or something like that, right? So we know that light is beautiful. We know that it reveals truth. It reveals our surroundings. And we know that it sends a clear message. And so today we're gonna be talking about the book of John. And it's one of my favorite books in the Bible. And today we get to read like some of the absolute coolest verses in all of scripture. And I'm excited. I'm like giddy about it. I've been like thinking about this for weeks. Like, and I basically just force Chris, like I put him in a headlock, and I was like, let me preach it. And then he beat me up and then said, I love you and I'll show you Jesus so you can. So if you don't have a Bible, okay, we've got Bibles. The ushers can bring you one. Raise your hand. Get it. I like to hear page flipping. In fact, if you want two, put an extra one in your lap and just flip pages the whole time because it just makes me happy, okay? And if you don't have a Bible, you don't own a Bible at home, it's our gift to you. Take it home. Like, we want you to read the Bible. We know that the Bible is God's revelation to us, right? It's what's really true in this life. It's not just a rule book. It's not just a good way to live, some good teachings to follow. It's life-transforming truth. So please take it home. So we're in John 1. So if you would turn there, and while you're turning there, just real quick, John, apostle. So he was one of the 12 disciples. He was potentially one of the youngest one. The Bible says that he had a very close relationship with Jesus. He was the one that Jesus loved. The one whom Jesus loved is John, the apostle. Okay. And so he's writing this later on in life. And when he's writing this, he is potentially even exiled. But some people say he's not. Anyway, the other gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have already been written, and they're kind of being circulated. And so all of the other gospels, you'll see that there is a lot of facts. Like, you know, there's a manger. There's a host of angels singing about Jesus coming to earth. There's all these stories, wise men and all that stuff. John starts very differently, very differently. And he's seen that all these other gospels are written and have given all these facts. So he writes a much more spiritual approach to who Jesus is. So let's read it. We're going to read 18 verses. And I know that your heart just sank because, you know, we'll be here for like 2 hours. Go Titans. Let's read it together. The first 18 verses. We're going to go all the way through, John. It says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. So much stuff in there, right? This is called the prologue of John, the whole book. This first 18 verses was like the hot topic for like 400 years after it was written. The church based so much doctrine and theologies out of this. They argued more about this writing than any other writing in the whole Bible. And because it's full of truth that is life-changing. So let's look at it a little bit. One thing I want to do before we start. It's important to read the Bible. It's also important to memorize scripture. So me and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, we're going to memorize a verse today. Just one verse. That's all we got to do. And it's easy. John 1:1. Let's put it up there for him. Say it with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's say it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. One more time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Take it down off the screen. You ready? You get some Jesus points here. You ready? Wrong. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is this Word? Who's this great, great Word? Jesus Christ. This is the first verse of scripture that I teach my kids. The first one. And you could make a case for John 3:16, which is amazing. You could make a case for Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23, and these are all verses they do need to memorize. But this is the beginning. This is the foundation of all of the gospel, that Jesus has always been who he's been. That Jesus is with God, and that he is God. And if he's God, then he has the power to change things, the power to resurrect life, the only true God. So teach it to your kids. Memorize it yourself. It's good stuff. Let's take a look at this. We need to ask the question, who is Jesus, right? We need to know that as Christians, don't you think? Mm-hmm. So we see it. We know that in the first little passage there that Jesus is has existed in the beginning. So he's existed before we were created. Before the creation, Jesus existed. We see that. We also see that Jesus, the Word, he was with God, okay? That means that God, we have to see that God is this Trinity, three-in-one God, this three-in-one being, that there's three persons, and all of them are kind of separate, but all of them are one, and all three of them are fully God, but they're one God. Yeah, you're not gonna understand it that well. I don't either, and you could, but you'll go crazy, but we trust it. So we know that Jesus has authority. Okay? We also see that Jesus is God. We can see that from here, right? So we know that Jesus is God, the foundation of all the truth that we need to go with from here. We also see in these first few verses that all things were made through him. And there's not anything that's been made that wasn't made by him. So we know that also Jesus is the creator of the world. We would say, well, God created the world. Yeah, but Jesus is God. The Word created the world. So we can even look in Genesis and you say, how did God create? He spoke, right? Jesus created you and me. He created this world and he created it so good and beautiful and wonderful. He created light. He created goodness. He created me and you. And so we know that he's the creator. This also gives him authority over everything, right? It gave him authority. If he created it, it's his. He controls it, right? Because he created it how he wanted to. So we see that Jesus has authority. He has power. You see that? We also see that he's the one and only God. The one and only God. Only the creator. If they can't create, they're no God. And he created everything, so he's the only one. Okay? Here's where it gets so awesome. I think it might be verse 3, John. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That gives me chills. I love, love, love that verse. God created life. Jesus spoke life into existence. His very being is life. And so we also see that his very being is light. He's full of truth. He reveals everything. Around him, there is no darkness, okay? And we know from the next verse, 1:5, it says this, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Me and you were born into darkness. This world is dark. It's just broken. And it doesn't mean that we run away from it. It just means that we've been called to do something different. We've been called to be new people, and so we'll get to that in a little while. But the idea here is that he's the light of men, and it just says to us that we are in darkness, and he is gonna come and free us from that. And we also see that his light is a victorious light, that no darkness could ever overcome it. Because what we have to understand is the darkness that we were in and that this world is in is the deepest, blackest darkness that has ever been. It seemed insurmountable, right? There was no way anyone could ever think and ever imagine that could be overcome. It was that dark. So we need to see this a little bit. We need to see that. I want you to do this. Imagine the darkest place you've ever been. Like the darkest place. In fact, close your eyes. Yeah, close your eyes. Yeah, I'm definitely going to throw stuff at you now. Close your eyes. And now I want you to look up with your eyes closed. Did it change a little bit? Did you see some light? Right? You can't see anything, but it's not dark. Right? You can see differences in light. Hey, you can open your eyes. You're making me feel bad. Like the worst thing for a preacher to look at is everybody with their eyes closed while he's preaching to them. So please open them back up. Yeah. Okay. So the worst, imagine this. Imagine being in a cave. You ever been in a cave? What do you feel? You're scared. Because it doesn't matter if you've got 100 people with you right by your side. In the deepest, darkest place, you are alone. You're lost. You can't see a way out. If there wasn't something to guide you out of that, say, cave, if there wasn't something to reveal a path, a way out, then you would die in that cave. Right? Light's pretty important, eh? We're going to skip verses 6 through 9 because I want to get to verses 10 and 11. We see this. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people did not receive him. Was he welcomed warmly when he came? No. It's like the world didn't recognize him. He created the world. He created you. He came to the world and you didn't recognize him. It'd be like parent if you have a teenager and you go to the mall with them to shop for new clothes and they're like 14 or 15 years old and they're gonna stay like 20 steps in front of you and they're gonna like strut extra hard, right? So they can like just shake off the fact that we're with mom or dad. And it's inevitable, it's going to happen. They're gonna see a group of their friends right there in front of them, right? And their friends don't have parents with them and they're going, God, mom, why don't you let me go to the mall myself, all right? And so they're gonna go up to those friends and they're gonna start talking to those friends and then you are a proud mom, right? It's like, oh, my baby's friends, I never get to see them, I'd love to meet them. And so, or dad, and if you talk like that and your dad, we need to talk after the service. But you walk up to them, right? Okay, you walk up to the group and you're trying to love on your kid or say hello or wave or blow some kisses. That's my baby, you know? You're trying to get into that. And then in an instant, the kid turns around, like, or their friends are like, is that your mom? The person waving, is that your dad over there who's like showing off his muscles? Like, who's that? And they turn around and you hear them say, I've never seen that person in my life. I would never be seen with that person in my life. They brought you into the world. And you wouldn't recognize them. Jesus created this world. He brought you into this world and we didn't know him. And we could say, oh, that's when Jesus came. No, that's us. That's us. The other thing is, it would be like his people, they didn't recognize him. Imagine that if you knew, somebody told you every day, your entire life, all day, that who your future spouse would be. Or that you were gonna encounter some kind of tragedy that would kill you, but there was a way out and there was someone who was going to come and rescue you, right? And so every day you got told over and over exactly who they were, what they sounded like, what they looked like, what they would wear when you saw them. You were told exactly what they came to do, exactly how they would do it. You were told what would happen even right before they showed up. And then they show up. And they say, yo, I'm here. It's me. I'm your like poppy or whatever. Like, this is me. I'm gonna marry you or I'm going to save you. Like, it's going to happen. You're gonna need me to save you. Then they do something to prove it, that they're right. And you say, no, you're not the one. That's what happened with Jesus. He was not welcomed warmly. We want to demonize the people, like that was Israel. We want to demonize those people and say, man, I would receive him. Uh-uh. You're way more concerned about yourself than you were about Jesus, and then something happened. See, those people who didn't receive him. That was us. We were enemies of God. We turned our backs and ran the other way when we saw him coming. But now there's hope. Verses 12 and 13, see this church. Throw it up there. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Amen. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We believe. We believe that he's the Word. We believe that he is God, the one true God. We believe that he is the light of men. See, we were in the deepest darkness. And it was all that we'd ever known was darkness. We saw a light, though. We saw a light. And it destroyed the darkness that we were in. And it was a light that was so bright that for the first time ever, we saw the truth. And the truth was, is that we needed the light. Because without it, we were lost. We're alone. We're dead. And the light, it was so beautiful and it was so real that we believed. That we, in that moment, couldn't deny that this light had overcome our darkness. And we welcomed it. We received it because the light had opened our eyes to life. And now, brought back to life, it's almost like we're being born again. In that moment, we were transferred from the darkness into light. And the light overcame all of the darkness. And in that light, we were made children of the Father. And the Bible says he's the Father of lights. And I remember that day when I knew I needed Jesus because the light shined. I saw in the light who I was. For the first time, I saw me, and I saw that I was all about myself. I saw that I couldn't do it alone. I saw that there was no way that I was gonna be able to defeat this darkness and shine my own light. And it was in that moment that I said, I need you, light. I believe that you can overcome this darkness, this death. I was adopted as a child of God. So I'm gonna say it now and I'm gonna say it later, but today, believe in the light. If you don't know the light and you're in darkness, God's saying, I'm revealing myself to you. I'm showing you the light. Believe in my son, Jesus Christ. If that's you today, open your ears, see the light. Receive it. Believe in Jesus. Let's keep going. This is a glorious light we saw, right? So we see this, and that's our salvation. That's how salvation worked, right? We saw a light. It was shown to us. But how is it shown to us? And in one of the most amazing verses in all of Scripture, we see how God did it. We see how he's shown on us in verse 14. And it says, and the Word became flesh. And he dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the Son from the Father. And it's full of grace and truth. Guys, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is good news. That God came to you, that God came to us, that he humbled himself and was obedient even to the point of death. He took on flesh and he came and dwelt among us. This is called the incarnation, all right? It's not a Mexican dish. That's not what this is. It's not like chili en carne or something like that, right? This is the incarnation. It means to take on meat, right? To take on flesh. And for us to really grasp this, and we can't go into like the doctrine of incarnation, we would be here all day. But to grasp this, that a God who created us, who is perfect in all of his ways, who is holy and has no sin in him, who created us good, but then we fell from grace. We fell into sin. We turned our backs on him. In fact, we hated him. For him to take on flesh and become like us and to come to us when we didn't do anything to deserve it, man, it's huge. That's the gospel, guys. I want to define something here for us. We've got to look at who Jesus is now. When we're going through this season, it's called Advent. That's what we call it, Advent, right? Y'all still with me? Y'all aren't doing like the I'm going to keep my eyes closed, look at the ceiling thing anymore. I told you to open your eyes. Advent, it means the coming of, right? It means that we celebrate the coming of Christ to earth. So we see the Advent in this verse. That he took on flesh and dwelt among us. He came to us. This is the first coming of Christ to the world. He is incarnated. We see it as this perfect picture of the gospel, of the truth and the light that has set us free, because we know that Jesus is the true light. John 8:12 says this. We got that one?
Yeah.
It says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, we said earlier at the very beginning, light was what? Beautiful, right? We said that light usually sends a message. But one of the coolest things that we said was that light reveals. That light reveals, it overcomes the darkness, and it shows us what's really real around us. Does that make sense? In darkness, we can't see what's real. In light, we can. And so when we see the glory of God in Jesus, when we see glory as of the Father, that like that kind of glory, and we see, and this is in John 1, yeah, in 1:14 that we're seeing this. When we see that it's full of grace and truth, we know that this light, Jesus Christ, the light of men, he has revealed things to us. Because light reveals, he says, I'm the light of the world. And so we see God's glory in him. And we see that God's glory is what? Full of what? Grace and truth. He reveals God's glory. He perfectly has shown us and made known to us God's grace. And he's shown the light in truth, to let us see what's finally real. What is glory? Let's ask this question. The Hebrew word for glory is kavod. It means heavy. I like that too. It means weighty, something that's of weight and of great importance. The Greek word is shekinah, and it kind of resembles this word of shining, of this lustering thing, glory, that it can't, you can't like get away from it. It's just there. It's like a light. The dictionary defines glory as this: high renown or honor won by notable achievements, magnificence, great beauty, renown, fame, prestige, honor, distinction, eminence, acclaim, praise, recognition, or reputation. See, in Jesus Christ, we see God's fame. We see God's renown. And we couldn't see it before, but because he became flesh, came to us, we see how great God really is, right? Does that make sense? Jesus, the light, has revealed everything there is to know about God that he wants to reveal to us. So here's what he's revealed. He's revealed God's character. In Jesus Christ, we see grace. We see God's love. We see God's truth. We see God's mercy. We see God's wrath. On the cross, we see God's judgment for sin when Christ bore our sins. He's not just revealed everything there is about God, okay, and his character and who God is. He's also revealed what God's all about. He's revealed God's mission. He's revealed his purpose and his will. And the incarnation, the advent where Jesus took on flesh, in and of itself, is the perfect picture of God's mission and purpose. It is who God is. that Jesus would come to us to make God known, to reveal himself to us. Jesus is the perfect picture of God. He's the way that we can see God. This is why we worship Jesus. He's made God known to us. Let's keep going. We gotta get quick. We see grace and truth here. Let me tell you, that's what the gospel is grace and truth. Let me just give you an example. Truth. The truth is this. When you encountered the gospel, when God saved you, you saw the truth. What was the truth? That God was perfect. You were not, and you couldn't match up to it. You saw the truth that you couldn't do it on your own and that you needed a savior. You saw the truth that there was nothing that you did or anything like that that could make you good enough. And that could defeat us. That could say, well, we're done for it. Like, we're gone. There's no way we can be with God again. But then the gospel meets us with grace. His glory is full of grace too. And even though that's the truth, in his great grace, and because he put all sin and punishment and all the condemnation on his son, because he came to you, we can be with God again. The gospel is grace and truth. So we're going to go to the very last verse, verse 18. And it says this, no one has ever seen God. That first little part, there's no hope in that, is it? There's no hope in that. Like, oh no one's ever seen him. How are we gonna know him? How are we gonna get to him? Like this. But the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Praise God for that. Somebody pull out a tambourine in this place right now. Ooh, like I'm ready to go. He's made him known. We couldn't have seen him, but Christ made him known. 2 Corinthians 4:6 is one of my favorite verses in the entire scripture. And this is what it says. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of what? His glory, the glory of God. But where? It's in the face of Jesus Christ. He came to us. He came to us so that we could know God. Because God is better and more good than anything on this earth. Knowing God, in John 17, Jesus says that knowing God is eternal life. We know that it's not just life like here. It's life that's full, abundant, that's perfect, and it's perfect love. And it is perfect, perfect worship. And so, today, when we sang those songs earlier about, oh, come, let us adore him, my only prayer, if you walk out of here with nothing else, is this, is that you see Jesus Christ as your greatest treasure. Anything after this that I say, don't care if you get it, if you get this, that Jesus Christ, because of what he's done, because he came to us, because he took on flesh and dwelt among us and shone light into our lives, that he should be the greatest treasure in your life. And if you lift him up as that, that's what this is. That's what this whole thing is about, is treasuring Christ. Why are we talking about this? Because I could send you guys out of here right now. And we've talked about Jesus. And man, we've seen how good he is. We've seen what he's done for us. We could go out of here encouraged and excited and having our faith strengthened, like we believe all over again. Like, yeah, that is what he's done on my behalf. That's what he has done for me. But why are we talking about it? And why now? Right now is the time of year where everybody catches this Christmas spirit thing. It's like a disease, right? I like the disease. I catch it. It's fun, right? But everybody in this Christmas season, they kind of get, they get different. Like after Black Friday, I'll say that. But they get charitable, right? They start to give more. They start thinking about others, which that's a picture of who God is, right? Mercy and grace. It doesn't mean that they know God, but at least that's what they're doing. And so we see the same way. Christians, we respond to this and we say, and because we know why Christmas is Christmas. We know the meaning behind it, and so we jump into this and we start giving and we start being charitable, but what we fight for more than anything is that we would stand up for Christmas, stand up for Christ in Christmas. Like, you're going to put a sign on your yard that says Jesus is the reason for the season, right? It's everywhere. It is. He is the reason for the season. That's a good thing. You're going to see signs that say, keep Christ in Christmas. Yeah. It's not Christmas unless it's Christ in it. It's just like gift day or something like that, okay? So we know that, okay? But why do we make it our personal goal? And here's a perfect example. When we go into a store and like the cashier when we're checking out says happy holidays to us, that we like in an instant say, for you, Jesus, I will stand up. And it's in that moment like we like start shining and we say, look at them and point and say, no, Merry Christmas. And it's like angels start singing around us. Doves are flying everywhere. There's smoke. And we in an instant are like, we are champions for Jesus and we're defending his honor. Let me tell you, dude, he created the world. He doesn't need your help in defending anything. He's got this. And all that people see, all they see is a misrepresentation of who God is. The Bible says that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost, and that was you. That was you. And there's nothing that you did that made it to where you are any different than them in your lostness. You've just seen a light. I'm sorry to rant. Like, I'm not busting on Christians, right? But what I am saying is I'm putting a challenge out there, an exhortation, a plea for the church, that rather than saying we're going to stand up for Jesus, that we would show Jesus. Everything that is wrapped up in Jesus. And we're talking about light today. We've seen that he's the light of the world. Guess what? In Matthew 5, when he's giving the Sermon on the Mount, he says that you are the light of the world. He's talking to us, that you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill. It cannot be hidden. And we've already seen that he's the actual light. He says, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of men. He's shown into our hearts. We saw in 2 Corinthians, we are like glowing now. It's like living in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, right? It's you've lived around nuclear waste material your whole life and you've got this certain glow about you. Not like pregnant glow, like that's different. That's just making you feel better when you're pregnant. No, I'm talking about like an actual glow. It's like people can't see. I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you. You look beautiful if you're a pregnant lady, okay? What I'm saying is that you've been changed and you can't help but shine. So I'll say this, that we are the light of the world, but we do not shine our own lights. We shine Jesus, who is the light. And just like when he came to earth to shine a light onto things, to shine a light on who God was, that's what he did. He shined a light on who God was. Now, our purpose in life as children of God is to shine the exact same light in the exact same way. So I'll say this, we are now the incarnation of God's character and mission and purpose and will because we are in Christ. I want to paint it like this to you. You are a mirror. You're a mirror. You shine a reflection of something that's so much bigger and outside of you. That same light we were talking about earlier, the one that's so real and so beautiful, the one that's so bright that it overcomes the darkness, that is the light that you reflect now. And it's not the light that you have to try to reflect because it's not, you're not a child of God because of the will of your flesh or your will or because of who you are. You do it because God is in you. You can't not do it. It's who you are. So I ask you this question. What light are you reflecting to the world? We can learn from Christ the Advent, him coming to us, when we see that he came to us, this incarnation where he became flesh, it means that we in flesh now go. We are people of the Advent. He came to us, we go to the world. You get that? What better, there's no better time to talk about this than at Christmas, because he's not calling us to do it 1 month out of the year, to be charitable, to be gracious, to show that God is full of grace and mercy, to show that God's glory is full of grace and truth, to show that he's full of love, to show that there is power in his name. He's calling us to do that every day, everywhere that you are. Will you be a person of the Advent? Will you dwell amongst people? Will you shine God's character? Will you be a reflection of the gospel? Will you show grace and truth to people? Well, that is that what you're gonna incarnate? Is that what you're gonna embody and show them that, yeah, the truth is this, that this is not what's good for you, but the grace is this, is that God is there. Are you not going to condemn the world, but rather embrace the world in love like Jesus would? And I don't mean, like, we're not supposed to be of the world. We're just in it. But we've got to be in it. We are on mission like Jesus was on mission when he came to this earth. Does that make sense? We connecting there. We getting that. Romans 15:7 says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. That what was shown to us in the person of Christ, revealed to us, that we would show to others, that we would reveal to others, that we would be lights for God's glory, his renown, his fame. And you're saying right now, like, how do I do that? That's really hard. Yeah, without Jesus, it is really hard. You'll fail miserably. But if you're resting in all that truth that we talked about at the beginning, if you're resting in the fact that he is over all things, he created them, that he is the Word and he is God, if you're trusting in that, and he's also promised you that he's always with you, that you are in him, that you're covered in his righteousness, that's when it makes sense, when we see Philippians where it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's when we're in him, when we've seen the light and all we are now is a mirror of his light. That's it. I'm gonna give you a couple of ways, because we've got a couple minutes left. I'm gonna give you a couple of ways though, that right now, this Christmas season, you can be a mirror for God's glory, that you can be a light for him. And you might say, man, it's really hard to do. I don't know how to tell people about Jesus. Yeah, you do. You've seen the light. Just tell people about the light. Let me give you some more practical examples though. We need to have intentional relationships with people. And I don't mean like go make a ton of new relationships. But you've already got relationships in your life, don't you? Family, friends, coworkers, acquaintances. The people that you run into when you go buy your gas. That cashier who you see every morning because you're a creature of habit. Rather than say, I gotta go start like just telling it on the streets about Jesus. It's not like that. You have relationships for a reason, and God has given you those things so that you can be a good steward of them, so that you can manage them well. He's giving you opportunities to be a mirror, a reflection of him. And so now, rather than just walk in, pay for your gas, say thanks a lot, or even say Merry Christmas, ask them what their name is. Go there every day. We're creatures of habit. See, there's these things in life that I want to call a rhythm. We have rhythms in our life, and you know what a rhythm is, right? Like, go listen to Little Drummer Boy. Pretty constant rhythm. It's a rhythm. It's something that happens regularly and it doesn't change. It's the same thing over and over. We have these rhythms in our life. So every day we're creatures of habit. We brew the same type of coffee. You know, we do it at the same time. We have to be at work at a specific time. We get a lunch break at a specific time. There's things that are scheduled in our lives, and God has placed those in front of you so you can be a light, a mirror of his glory. So let's make them intentional. One thing that I've just been blown away by, I'm in a home team, I'll call it that for now, and I love the people in my home team like my family. And the one thing that I know, God's doing work in it. He's changing lives. I mean, he's transforming lives. And if you ask me how, I'd be like, I have no clue. Because that's what he does. But what I do know is that we are together. That I live my life with those people in it. And it's changing me and my family. It's changing the other families that are in there, that we would deeply be involved in other people's lives so that even amongst the brethren, the Christian brothers and sisters, we could be a light to each other, that we could reveal who God is and how good he is to each other. And in that, God is changing us. You can do this too with your family. Christmas is right here. You're going to see extended family. You know them well. They know you. So show them Christ. Rather than going in and being like, gosh, another family gathering, this is great. Show them that you have a peace that passes all understanding. Show them that you have acceptance that's outside of this world from Jesus. Show them that you have been given a joy that's incomprehensible, and there's no way they can't, when they look at you, they say like, what is up with that dude? What is up with her? 1 Peter 2 says that they would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. See, we incarnate it. We show it not just with our speech, and that's important too, but also with our lives. Does that make sense? Open your home to your neighbors. Invite them over for dinner. We're in the South. Food is awesome here, right? Go to the Midwest. It's terrible. It's like, how many ways can we cook with corn? It's awful. Here it rules. There's gravy on everything. How could you not like that? Your neighbors like it too. Invite them over. There's a trust that goes into inviting someone over for dinner, and it's really, really, really easy. Use your home as a place of ministry and mercy. Open it up and say, this is a safe place. You can come here and we can talk. Here you'll find grace. And I'll show you truth because there's truth. And I'll correct you when you're wrong, but I want to show you grace. Your neighbors need light. They're in darkness. Your family needs light. They're in darkness. Your coworkers need light. They're in darkness. Your boss, you need to show him or her the goodness and the grace of God by submitting to them. There's ways that we incarnate Christ. We incarnate God's glory. There's ways that we can go to people. I'm almost done, so stick with me. Mark 5, there's this story. Jesus, he's sailing across this sea and he steps off in this different country. And the first person that he comes up to him and talks to him is this demon-possessed man. You could imagine. All right, first impression of a place, like, whew. And I mean like crazy demon guy. In fact, the townspeople had exiled him out into the wilderness because they tried to trap him and like keep him shackled up in jail or whatever you want to say. And he was strong enough in his possession to break the shackles and the chains. This guy was naked and he ran around the wilderness howling like a wild animal. He was screaming in torment because this demon named Legion, because there were many of them in him, was tormenting him. He was in darkness, deeper darkness than any of us could probably know. He was cutting himself with rocks. He was alone, lost, and dead. And he comes up to Jesus, and the demon within him speaks to Jesus, and he knows that Jesus is God, the Son of God, come to earth. And he says, please have mercy on us. Don't throw us out of the country. There's a herd of pigs right there. Throw us into there. Jesus casts the demon out. And Legion, he was many, so it possesses this entire herd of pigs, and they run off a cliff. They fall and die. Well, all their farmer's pigs just died. So the people, they come out to see what's happening as they're seeing like you know, have you heard like when pigs fly? Like that's the day it did, so it already happened, okay? That's what they saw, pigs flying. And so they come to Jesus and we're just wondering what happened. And they see this man who had caused them, he was just the craziest guy ever. Probably hurt some of them, who knows. And he's sitting there and he's got his clothes on. And he's talking with Jesus and he's in his right mind. Everything is right with him. And the Bible says that they were afraid. So they go back and talk amongst themselves. And because of their fear and their anger that all their pigs are down dead, they tell Jesus to get out. We don't need your type here. So Jesus, okay, he goes to get in the boat to cross the sea again. And with 1 foot into the boat, he hears his name. And it's the man who he just cast the demon out of. And the man says, Bible says it, he begged Jesus. I can just imagine this, right? That he gets on his knees and he cries out and says, Jesus, I have to be with you. I have to. You've changed who I am. To you, I'm gonna devote everything that I am. I wanna be with you. There's no greater thing than you. He saw the light. But even in his pleading and his begging, Jesus looks at him and says, no. No. Could you imagine what he felt at that time? Like rejection? What? Am I not good enough? Regret? Shame of what he'd done? That's the truth. Jesus meets him with grace. And he says, no, go tell your friends what God has done and the great mercy that he's shown you. Guys, that is what he's telling us. We were the demon-possessed man, and we met Christ, and he shone a light into our deepest darkness, and it was so bright that it overcame the darkness, and it was so beautiful, and it was so real that we believed for the first time. We saw the truth that we needed the light, and we knew that light, Jesus Christ, we know that he could save us, and we believe in him. And we're children of God, born again to be children of light, to be people of the Advent, to show God's glory in this world. Praise Jesus, who is the life, and in him is the light of men. You're called, and this is what I'll close with. You are called to be a light. Christian, I'm talking to you. You are called to be a light for God's glory. You are called to be a reflection of who God is, of why Jesus came, and how he came, that you would in flesh go dwell amongst them, that you would show glory, glory as of the Son of the Father that's full of grace and truth. You want to know what live gospel is? That's all it is. Full of grace and truth for God's glory. Will you be that light? He's calling you to it now, every day, everywhere. If you're in darkness, I don't know everybody's heart in this room. You know you're in darkness, and right now, this second, for the past hour, for the past week, for the past year, there's been something that's stirring inside of you and you can't explain it. But now there's been a light that's been shown onto you and you finally see the truth that you can't do it on your own. There's no amount of coming to church or doing good things that is going to save you, that's going to pull you out of the darkness that you're in, of the doubt and the shame that you're in. There's nothing that's going to save you from yourself. There's nothing that's going to save you from eternal darkness and fire. You know it's not you. If you're in that darkness today and that you see light, you see that truth today, believe in Jesus. You need him. I need him just as much today as the day I first saw the light. He's shining his light, the light of God's glory that's full of grace and truth. And he says, if you believe in me, you'll have eternal life, eternal light. It's not about going to heaven. It's about being with him because he's our treasure. I end with this, John 20, 21. I commission you with this. Like, this is your exhortation, your challenge. It's a quote. It's from Jesus. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Will you be a light for his glory?" Let's pray. God, it's hard to face some of that truth. Like, I want to be good. Like, I want to have it figured out. So it's hard to face that I couldn't and I'm not and that you did, and to just accept that with everything. And God, I hope and pray today, if there's someone in this room that has never seen light, that they're in darkness, God, I pray that today, this very day, you would save them, that you would rescue them. Hey, Christian, if you're in here, bow your head with me. Close your eyes, like pray for people in here. Let's pray for this. God, save them. Shine a light into their darkness, one that overcomes it, so they see your goodness, your grace, a glory that is full of grace and truth. And God, today, for us who have seen that light, for us who have been changed by that light, God, send us. Send us that we would be people of the Advent, that we would be Christmas to each other. It's in Jesus' name we pray.